Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And right now it's hard for us to comprehend that that could be. But that's what the perspective that the Lord gives us and understanding that the Lord gives us, that these trials and these temptations, the things that we go through in this life that are difficult and hard on the flesh, when we are in glory, they will seem as just a moment. Hard for us to think that because we have a lifetime. We have much of our life that where we have different troubles. And then as we've talked about and seen here recently, how indeed we could count ourselves to be 11th hour children of God and the things that we have been spared from many that came before us. He says these things work for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. An excellent weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory, an exceeding glory. While we look not on the things that are seen, verse 18, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, this world, this life, the things of this life. But you and I, through the Scripture and through the Word of God, we know our Lord. We know that by fellowship with Him, prayer unto Him, the hope and the promises that He's given unto us, the commands that He's given us to follow, and we are convicted that they're important and that they are eternal. While we look not on the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We come to chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So this isn't it. And praise the Lord that this body isn't it. Amen? But we've got a tabernacle. We've got a body that is waiting for us, that the Lord has prepared for us. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A reservation, as one has said, it can't be canceled. We have an appointment as the children of God to be in that final way changed. Our salvation completed. And understand that salvation is complete in the sense of us having it when the Lord saves our souls. But these bodies are not saved yet. And we have the blessing that our lives, the rest of the time that we have, can be saved and used for the Lord as we live here. But one day we'll have that tabernacle not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We'll live forever in a body like Jesus. For in this we groan, verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. The apostle spoke this, no doubt, from the affliction that he had suffered, the scars, the wounding, the compromising of his body for the sake and the service of the Lord. He's talked to this church about the things that he's endured. He's not bragging. He's just making it clear. The previous chapter told about some of those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 told about some of those things. Speaking about the apostles. The apostles were chosen first, but have become the last. But then in glory will be those 12 sitting on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This principle of first and last, in the last, I think in the last year, brought out maybe some understanding about that. We who are the Lord's children are considered the lowest in this earth. But we are the children of the Lord that will shine unto His honor and His glory. The principle of first and last. The Lord says the first will be last, and the last will be first. Brother John the Baptist, he was first before the Lord, wasn't he? And he died the death of the last in prison at Herod's hands. But you know what? Jesus says there's no greater prophet than him. And so, interesting how that works in the working of the economy of our Lord. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. He says we desire it. It is permanent. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Interesting that the Lord would bring that to us that way. And I trust that you know and we understand from the Scriptures that for mankind, from the time of sin, it's been a shame for mankind to be naked. We need to cover up our nakedness. We don't need to reveal our nakedness one to another. But the thing is, this is not talking about so much as physical nakedness, or it's talking about more about the spiritual, the eternal. A thought that I'd never had before about the children of God will have robes, glorious robes that won't have to be sent off to the cleaners, upon which we will be clothed. This life that we have in our soul, it'll be clothed upon with an eternal body, not naked. But what will it be for the sinner, unrepentant and unbelieving in hell? Will there be a clothing upon them? Lord Jesus, even that which he seemeth to have will be taken away from him. Isn't that something? We will not be naked in the eternal, in the spiritual, in that heavenly realm, and then coming back to earth and all that glorious existence that the Lord has for us. We will not be found naked in any aspect or any way. But the sinner without Christ will be there with a body fitted for destruction. And if I'm understanding it right, not even clothes to wear. Not even clothes to wear. There's a thing in our world and the wickedness of men. And one of those things that the wickedness and depravity of man seeks after is for nakedness to be revealed. To reveal, you see that in those that are rebellious and they just want to show themselves. And it's an affront to God. It's not to be. It's not good for mankind to be that way. And isn't it like the Lord? Isn't it like the Lord with the wicked where he says, oh, you want that way? You'll get everything that goes with it. And so many things, the Lord works that way, doesn't he? You don't want me? Well, you'll get everything that goes with that. You want nakedness? I'll give you eternal nakedness. There'll be no covering. There'll be no help. There'll be no respite from anything. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That, for the children of God, it will not be so with us. We will not be found naked. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, this fleshly, being burdened, which we are, he was indeed, not for that we would be unclothed. I don't want to be unclothed and naked, but clothed upon. And look at the attitude, even about the spiritual. Not to be unclothed, not to be just separated from this fleshly body, but to be clothed upon. Listen, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What a wonderful way to say what the Lord has in store for us. We look for the rapture, the second appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming for us in the clouds. And this mortal will be swallowed up in life as we go up in that moment and ascend up to heaven to be with him. Those who are dead and have died in the Lord, their graves, I believe, will come open, and mortality, the mortal, which physically does die, is swallowed up of life. Because the Lord is life. The Lord knows nothing but life. And he has given life and does give life unto his own. Now he that hath wrought the working, he that hath wrought us for the self-same, for this thing that I've described, is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That pledge, the earnest, that part of the purchase money, that's that word. If you have the Spirit of God living within, Brother Stephen brought it out in his Sunday school lessons, if you have the Spirit of God within, it's because you're saved. And that is the guarantee of what he's going to do. It's the earnest. Indeed, he that has begun a good work in us will perform it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he that hath wrought, he's worked for us, A safe selfing thing is God, who has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And this is talking about being absent physically, in His physical presence. Because spiritually, are we absent from the Lord? No, He's living within. But we're talking about the physical. We're talking about eyes seeing Him in His likeness, His physical person of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we're in this old flesh, we're absent from the Lord. Knowing whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And here's a side note in that regard. For we walk by faith. If you're in your body, the only way to walk is by faith in Him. Because, see, your eyes can't see Him. And your ears can't hear His audible voice. And you can't see Him say, come on and follow me. But we know in our spirit, we know from His Word that it is so. Just as if He were here physically. Just as if He was here physically in our presence where these eyes could see Him. We live by faith in Him. Faith that He is there. Faith that He has saved us. Faith that He has given us His Word to follow Him in. And faith that He will accomplish these things that He's promised He will do for us. We believe it. We believe it. We are, as His children, to believe it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The day that you see Him, faith will be done. We will see Him. We will hear Him. He will instruct us. He will continue to lead us. You know, you've heard me say, leaving out of here, going to the Lord. Let's go ahead and be obedient here and strive and strive and strive to be filled with His Spirit and follow Him in His Word and take His Word and apply it to our lives and hearts so that transition, going on to be with the Lord, going on to be in eternity, won't be such a big bump. Now, that's going to be a bump. Because it's going to be a change that we just can't fathom. But may it not be such a big bump. May we not have regrets as we move on into eternity when our Lord comes. And that's how it is with us. We're still in this flesh. We're absent from the Lord. We're walking by faith, aren't we? We don't see Him. Not by sight. But the time is coming. Back to the main thought. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What do you want? What do you want? You know, there was a time in my saved life I said, well, be good for the Lord to come back, not today. But the Lord has helped me to understand that if today's the day for the Lord to come back, that's the best time for Him to come back, is His day. And you know what? I need to desire, as His child and His son, to desire Him to come back today. Because there is nothing better than all the things that you and I can think or have planned or imagined. There's nothing that tops that. There's nothing that is more important than the Lord coming back, fulfilling His will, and us seeing our Savior and being with our Savior and seeing Him face to face. I know we have children, grandchildren we want saved. I know we have things that we would like to accomplish. I know that. We've got to take those souls that we know to be saved, need to be saved, and entrust them to His will. And we need to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's what Brother John prayed. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come back. We need to, in faith, trust our Lord that He knows what's right. He knows what our loved ones need. We need to be a witness today unto them. He declares here, He said, we're willing to be absent from the body, are we not, and be present with the Lord. He said, but you know what? That is in the Lord's hands. Our departure from this body, this flesh, this yet carnal, that departing is in His hands. Wherefore we labor. He says, he said, we desire to be with the Lord, but we're still here. Wherefore we labor, that whether present with him or absent from him, we may be accepted of him. We saw that this morning about being accepted, being an acceptable servant. We can be accepted. Again, the relationship has changed. We're not sinners estranged from God and lost and condemned in our sins, without a Savior, without a sacrifice, without an atonement. But we're children, having been saved, having been called, having been changed, having the Spirit of God living within. We can be acceptable to him, and we need to pursue that. We have many failures. I'm afraid, and have met folks that it just seems, and folks that say that they're saved, that just live in despair. And again, we need to not be high-minded in our opinion of ourselves. We need to be sober in the way the Lord looks at things. And we need to pursue. Has it not been that the Apostle Paul has declared to this church in the first epistle and the second epistle and the things that he has done in obedience to the Lord, to his pleasing, and what the Lord called him to do as evidence of his desire for them? If the Lord has wrought in us, praise be to his name. And we need to seek that, to be accepted of him, well-pleasing to him in this time. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body and this old flesh, while we don't see the Lord, while we're living by faith, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I want to cause you to remind, relative to this, we live by faith and not by sight. Over there in Luke, the Lord Jesus instructs us about prayer. He instructs us about the faithfulness of the widow woman that went to the judge that didn't care about man, didn't care about God, and brought her petition. And he said, listen to what the judge did. The wicked judge, the one that didn't care about God, didn't care about man. He said, shall not God avenge his own elect? Won't the Lord listen and do well for his children? He sure will. And may we take and may we go to God with our petition and our supplication. And if you will, in a manner of speaking, I think that's what the Lord Jesus tells us. Look to wear him out with the desire of our heart that would glorify him. It's one thing for us to pray for something that we just want. It's another thing to pray for something, I believe, that will glorify the Lord. Let's just wear him out. Nevertheless, won't God do good? Shouldn't all pray into him? Yes. Should we wear him out with the desires of our heart that we know would glorify him? Yes. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find anyone believing that working that way that God has told us to be will be found working in his people? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body, for we live by faith in this flesh, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We've seen about that in recent times too on our studies on Wednesday night. We persuade men. In connection with the service this morning, you know, we need to persuade one another to follow that which is right and good before our Lord, brothers and sisters. We need to persuade the sinner to turn unto Christ and repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the word that is used, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the awesome holiness and fiery way and manner of the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire, it tells us in Hebrews. It's a fearful thing for the children of God to fall into the hands of the living God. That's the context of Hebrews 10. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, his holiness and his righteousness, we persuade men. We need to be about that, don't we? As it says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's one aspect of it. How are they here? As we have seen in recent time, they need a witness to the truth. They need a witness. A lost and dying world needs a witness to the truth, as we studied about crowns on Wednesday night. But we are made manifest unto God. The Lord knows all about us, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You see that we really care. That we do have a desire for rescue and for deliverance. For one to be brought from disobedience into acceptability through Christ in salvation and by obedience to Christ in service. We're to be persuaders, witnesses of the Lord. And as he writes them about our calling and about these things of this change promised unto us, he says, I hope that you see it too. I so hope and pray and trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you. He says, I don't have to recommend myself to you again, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. The Lord using us and working us to bring us to you and the Lord's great work here in this church and this people, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. See, they've said of Paul, oh man, when he writes, he's most bold and boisterous seemingly and with great authority and all that. But when he shows up, it's like, whoa, look at that. Man, I can't stand to look at that. Appearance. They want the appearance to jive with what they think is important in that. So what's important is not the appearance of the minister. What's important is the working of God and the truth of the Word and the manifestation of the Spirit and the salvation and working of the Lord. It's not the minister. See, remember, this church was caught up on which minister had baptized them. What personality? Some of them like Peter's personality. Some of them like Paul's personality. Some of them like Paul's way. It's not about the personality of the minister. It's not about what camp you're in. But it's about the Lord and the Lord's working in our midst. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. The Lord's working in us through me to you, you to me, that you may have somewhat to answer them there in the church that glory in appearance and not in heart. We need to glory in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, that word beside ourselves there in the Greek is talking about being, it can be used as insane. But we know that no minister of God is insane. It's also a synonym for that is to be out of our wits. It said, whether they think I'm crazy, or they think I'm crazy. You know, that happens with a lot of ministers, doesn't it? And sometimes men bring it upon themselves. But it's said of some that they're so dedicated and so desirous of the way of the Lord and willing to even be made a fool of by the world for their stand and the conveying of the truth of God. He said, whether you think I'm crazy, it is to God, or whether we be sober, they've got it all together, it is for your cause. I'm here. I'm writing to you. I came to you, sent by the Lord, starting off with that Macedonian call, the working of the Lord, rather than turning to the northeast, but rather coming over into Macedonia. I'm here and have been used up for the Lord for your sakes. For you. It is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Not our love for Him. But because He loved us first and loves us indeed, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto Him which died for them and rose again. It's all for Christ, for His sake. For the great rescue that His love has brought unto us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love, it doesn't say for Christ, it says of Christ. For us. Exhibited and manifested unto us. It constrains us. He says, that's the reason I haven't quit yet. I'm continually, he's in the second epistle, he's writing back again because he loves them. He loves the Lord. He wants to be a help to them. He said if he died for one, he died for all of us. We were all dead. Verse 15, and that he died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I am living for him in this ministry unto you, and you should live for him too, which died for you. Verse 16, wherefore, going forward, wherefore henceforth, because of all that going on forward, know we no man after the flesh. It said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the station. I'm not interested in the wealth. I'm not interested in the status. I'm not interested in the connections. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. This is kind of one of those tricky passages in this latter part. Do you know and believe that Jesus came to this earth, became a man, and lived a perfect life, and then gave himself on the cross of Calvary for you physically? Yes. We know him in the flesh that way, and that he did so. Now, Paul possibly may have seen Jesus Christ in his ministry. Okay? A teacher that he had lived in the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave advice to the Jewish leadership concerning Christ. And so Paul may have been young. He may have been a boy, possibly. He may have seen him physically. But you and I, from the account in the Scriptures and our faith in him and what he has done for us, he says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We know Christ not only what he did on Calvary when he came to this earth, but we know him in the Spirit too, don't we? We know him in our lives, not only from the time that he saved us, where we believed on what he physically did for us. Some brethren refer to it as his finished work, and it was finished as far as the gospel being completed. But is that all you know Christ in? Have you not known Christ since that time, since that moment, that day that he saved you? Yes. We've known him as we go on, and that's been a spiritual relationship, hasn't it? The Lord living within. See, the apostle, he's declaring to us, he says, I really don't care about the physical attribute of a man. I don't care if he's the most handsome. I don't care if he's ugly. I don't care if she's ugly or if she's beautiful. I don't care about their station. I don't care about their money. I don't care about their connections. I don't care about their popularity. I care about their soul. Because that's what matters. And the Lord, we know him after these spirit things. We know him in this salvation. You know what? That's what they need too. They need. We need the Lord. For sinners without Christ, they need the Lord as Savior. For we who are saved, we need Christ working within us in this old flesh, put down and put away, don't we? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Passed away. It's talking about death, isn't it? Dead. They've died. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. The Father, if you will, has reconciliation. Now, those that deal with accounting, each of us deal with accounting to some extent, don't we, even in our personal lives. If you don't have enough to pay all the bills, you can't get the debt reconciled, can you? You got to have enough. Well, God has reconciled to us debt paid in full by Jesus Christ. Debt paid in full by Jesus Christ. When we talk about that, what are the physical matters? What of our physical attribute matters? What of our station in life matters? When we're talking about our sin and our need and the payment for our sin, what's it matter what we look like? How weak we seem? How powerful we seem? What's that matter? It means nothing, doesn't it? Because the soul and the dealing with sins is what matters. He's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us, to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Here it's going to wrap up, and he's challenging this church. You're worried about which camp you're in. You're worried about how you look. You're worried about how the cliques that are in the church there are working. He said, what you need to worry about is the ministry that's been given to us. That's what we need to be concerned about. The ministry that's been given to us, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or that said, or that being the case, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, that word world is cosmos, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. We understand that to be in regards to men, not imputing their trespasses unto them, putting off the payday. Because you know what? Without Christ, we're brought to the payday. We're not going to be able to be reconciled. We've got a debt that condemns us. Sin. Sin that requires us to go into hell and be there forever. So you know what? As time went on, the Lord was merciful. The Lord was long-suffering. The Lord was working His plan. His eye was quivering against sin, as it says, and as Paul, I think Paul makes reference there in the book of Acts, as he goes to Mars Hill, the times of ignorance, God winked at, his eyes quivering against his judgment on sin. He's holding back. He's being long-suffering. He's waiting. He's waiting and bringing his son and brought him, fulfilling his plan. But one day, there's going to be a reconciling in there. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We not only have the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18, but we have the word of reconciliation, and that is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, service unto him by those that are saved and made his children. Now then, all this being so, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are folks sent to a foreign land, strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land, to tell sinners about their need of Christ, that they might be reconciled. That they see, when we get off of ourselves and get on board with the ministry and work we've been given, the ministry and the word that we've been given, then all the focus then is on the Lord and people's need of the Lord, isn't it? And you know what that would do for this church at Corinth? They'll stop all this infussing. They'd see about what's important, what's eternally important. That'll stop the infussing. That'll stop the cliques. That'll stop the big I's and the little U's. As we preach this morning, that'll get the servant's eyes on the Lord and not be fretting and trying to do the master's work that he does towards his servants. To wit, that God was, let's read it together. And in all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us, in the meantime, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ in this time of long-suffering, this time of waiting, for all things to be fulfilled according to the will of the Father. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Brother or sister, you have a lack, you have a thing in which in your life that you're astray from the Lord, be reconciled to the Lord. Sinner, without Christ, be reconciled unto God. We are here in the Lord's stead saying it, for him, be reconciled unto God. Isn't that what it said? It says, we are then ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. It's the voice of the Lord to be coming forth from us. Be reconciled unto God by and through and in his Son. Ambassador. Ambassadors. Because, verse 21, he, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A final summary of the reconciliation. Amen. You and I, we couldn't pay for our sins. Jesus did. And sinner without Christ, you can't pay for your sins. But Jesus can and has. Receive him. Be reconciled unto him. He is the only way, as that song says, the only way that the account can be settled is by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus. 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 The need of your soul and the need of the spiritual need that you have. A title for this chapter that I have from years ago, Are We Spiritual? See, this church at Corinth had contingents within it that were carnal. The apostle had told them so. Think about the stuff of this world. We need to be good stewards. We need to use things and not abusing them. We need to do what's right with the stuff that the Lord's given us. Because we do have physical needs. Our families, our children, we have needs. We have things that we do. It's right of the Lord to work and to pursue and to do. We don't need to put that before the Lord. We need to do it unto the Lord. And not let that rise above the thing that's most important, the spiritual need of every person that we run into, whether it be a brother or sister, or it be a sinner in need of salvation. That's what's most important. That's what's going to matter on the other side. May the Lord help us in that.